Okay, was that beautiful or what? How many of you were singing with it, right? So I'm just getting myself rearranged here. That was such a beautiful song. Thank you for recommending it and putting it together. Let's give some more love to Bill and to Ron. Well, it was a perfect song for today's talk. And because, you know, that song, I looked up some of the meaning, and there's a lot of things you can look at. But it's about self-reflection. You know, I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills, the mirror in the sky. It's about having fears of growing older and fearing change. So it's about self-reflection, really, from my point of view, in the more general sense of it. And to reflect upon things. And we'll be doing some reflection this month as we move into the four agreements. However, we're also studying one of the 12 powers formulated by Charles Fillmore, based off the 12 disciples. And the power or spiritual practice that we're engaging in the month of October is?
Release.
Oh, good. So anybody do any releasing this week? Okay, I see some hands, awesome. So shout out some things that you have released this week.
Clothing.
Demanding results. What was it?
Demanding results.
Release that, that's a good one.
Distrust.
Releasing distrust.
Control.
Releasing control, I have no control issues. I'm hearing people on the cyber sanctuary, you know, I'm really picking, you're all yelling out things too. So continue to practice the release. And I'm also going to be incorporating in the next 7 weeks, along with our spiritual powers and practices, and this will be fun for me, and fun for you too, I'm sure, is to bring the seven spiritual laws of success, that's another book that I teach from. But it's the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it is a Toltec wisdom book. How many of you know what the Toltecs were? Okay, some of you do. Some of you, I would imagine, don't. The Toltec were known throughout southern Mexico as the women and men of knowledge. And the anthropologists have spoken of the Toltec as a nation or race, but in fact, the Toltec were scientists and artists who formed a society in order to explore and conserve the spiritual knowledge and the practices of the ancient one. They came together as masters, known as Nahuels, and students of Teotihuacan. Walk on. I had to practice that, you know, and that was yesterday. This is the ancient city of the pyramids outside Mexico City, known as the place where man becomes God. You know, we talk about that in our philosophy. So during the years, the European conquest and folks that were wanting to use this knowledge for personal gain and misuse, it became concealed, and basically the only way that they shared it was verbally, through stories, and to passing it on generation to generation. Don Miguel Ruiz was a Nahual from the East Eagle Knight lineage, and he was guided, as prophecy had said, that at some point the Toltec knowledge and wisdom would be shared, and he felt called during our lifetime to share that. Toltec knowledge arises from the same essential unity of truth as all the sacred esoteric traditions found around the world. Though it is not a religion, it honors all the spiritual masters who have taught on the earth. While it does embrace spirit, it is most accurately described as a way of life, distinguished by the ready accessibility of happiness and love. Anybody want that? So this book, we're also, I'm going to be speaking on it on the Sunday. However, if you want to dive deeper into this, that's what our Adventures in Faith is about. There are small groups. There are six of them. There's a few spaces left. One is completely filled up. So if you're interested, we have small groups that are meeting at different times. A couple of them are on Zoom, and the rest are in person. If you are interested, today, again, is the last day to sign up. So please sign up in the office with Brendan. See what's available. If you're online in the Cyber Sanctuary, send an email to communications@unitysantafe.org or put it in the chat, because we don't want anyone to miss out on the opportunity. And today is the final day because the groups start tomorrow. For those of you that are taking the course, Christina's here. I have to just stop a second. I was less like, I know that masked woman. Spirit just goes, excuse me, so I'm putting me on pause. Christina Apodaca, would you stand up so we can give her some love? I just got it, you know, I'm delayed reaction. She is our secretary on the Board of Trustees, and she lives in Las Cruces, came up this week so we could celebrate her as one of our sacred servers. And she's also the person behind the Cyber Sanctuary hosting. She said, this is what we need to do, and started it almost a year ago, November, December, and has created a team. So she's awesome. Thank you for standing up and letting me, you know, just spirits running the show, not myself. So I want to tell you a story. It's about a young man who lived 3,000 years ago, and he was just like you and me. He lived in the mountains near a city, and he was studying to be a medicine man, but he kept feeling like there was something more. And so one night he was sleeping in the cave, and he started dreaming. And then he dreamed that he could see himself, so he was having an out-of-body experience, seeing his hands, hearing his voice, and he saw himself looking up at the stars, and all of a sudden he heard his voice say, I am made of light. I am made of stars. He looked at the stars and realized that the stars don't create light. Light creates the stars. He realized that everything was alive, was an aspect of light. We are all light beings, but we have not known that about ourselves. So he discovered that everything in existence is a manifestation of the one living presence that is called God. Everything is God. Sounds familiar to Unity teachings. And he came to the conclusion that human perception is merely light perceiving light. Light perceiving light. He also saw that matter is a mirror, and everything is a mirror that reflects light and create images of that light. And the world of illusion, the dream, is just like smoke, which doesn't allow us to see who we really are. The real us is pure love, pure light. This realization changed his life. He saw himself in everyone and everything. He saw himself in the trees, in the clouds, in the water, in the animals. He saw himself in everyone and everything. And he got so excited by what he had come to understand. And so he was so happy and ready to go to the city, and he went to the city, and he wanted to tell people about this experience that everyone is light and that we are all this energy. Except his words didn't make sense to them. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. But they saw something beautiful radiating from his eyes, and they thought, he's really actually changed. He's not even judging anyone, and he's not judging anything anymore. He must be an incarnation of God. And that's what they said. And they didn't understand him. And he smiled when he heard that they thought he was God, and he said, it is true. I am God. But you are also God. We are images of light. We are the same, you and I. We are God. But still, the people didn't understand him. He had discovered that he was a mirror for the rest of the people, and he could see himself in those people, but they couldn't see him in themselves. He realized that everyone was dreaming without awareness, without knowing who they really were. They couldn't see themselves because there was this wall of fog or smoke between the mirrors. And the wall of fog was made by misinterpretations or interpretations of the light. This was the dream of humans. He knew he would soon forget all that he had come to understand, but he decided he was going to call himself the smoky mirror, so that he would always remember the part that matter is a mirror, and the smoke in between is what keeps us from knowing who we are. He said, "I am the smoky mirror because I am looking at myself in all of you. But we don't recognize each other because the smoke in between us. The smoke is the dream, and the mirror is you, the dreamer." I have something to say. Can you realize this is what they're saying? We're all dreaming. We're dreaming wide awake. And that might go, that doesn't work in my mind. And I expect it won't. I'm not dreaming. I know what I know. But what if it's all a dream? What if this is all a dream? And I'm going to wake dream or a nighttime dreaming. We are dreaming all of the time. I want you to just suspend your thoughts around this and go, what if this was true? What if it's true that we are all dreaming? What would that mean? It would probably make you feel uncomfortable because I like to know what I know. It makes me feel secure. I'm not just dreaming. So in his first chapter on the domestication and the dream of the planet, he says, humans are dreaming all of the time. Before we were born, the humans before us created a big outside dream that we call society's dream, or the dream of the planet. The dream of the planet is the collective dream of billions of smaller personal dreams, which together create the dream of a family, the dream of a community, the dream of a city, the dream of a country, and finally a dream of all of humanity. The dream of the planet includes all of the society's rules, its laws, its beliefs, its religions, its different cultures, ways to be. It creates our governments, our schools, social events, and holidays. So we are living in an outside dream, because when we were born, we were blank slates. We just came in as pure light and love. We got what he calls is domesticated. And the people that domesticated us also had been domesticated. Domestication happens when you are being taught and told how it is, what a human is, what a woman is, what a man is, how to behave. You are told everything, and being a child, you believe what you're being told. How would you not? Because these are bigger people, and they know things. Well, I remember my 10-year-old who thought adults are stupid and don't tell them, but so we get hooked. We go to school. We sit in front of the teacher. The teacher gives us information, and we take it in. Because we are domesticated, and do you know how we're domesticated? Just like we domesticate a dog or an animal. The system is called punishment and reward. If you don't do what you are being told to do and expected to do, because that's it, you get punished. But if you do what you're supposed to do, you get rewarded. And you get the good girl, good boy, when you're doing what they're telling you to do, and you get the bad girl and bad boy, right? We've all done that. We continue to do that. It's not our fault. It was what we were taught. And now we do that with others. You know, good dog. Bad dog, you're on my table that day, whatever. So we are domesticated. And what happens in that domestication when we are being how we need to be all the time? What happens is it becomes our belief system. We have a belief system that we did not choose. You did not choose the language that you're speaking. You did not choose your name. You didn't choose your beliefs. I didn't choose my beliefs. Isn't that interesting? We have these things that we have collectively. Now, here's the word. We've agreed to them. We didn't have the choice to believe or not believe. But what he talks about is that we agree with what we're told. He says, as children, we didn't have the opportunity to choose our beliefs, but we agreed with the information that was passed to us from the dream of the planet via these other humans. The only way to store information is by agreement. The outside dream may hook our attention, but if we don't agree, we don't store that information. As soon as we agree, we believe it. So this is what happens. We end up believing things and making agreements because, hey, we all agree this is a book. If you're from another culture, you would not be probably in agreement with that because that doesn't even click for you. So this domestication happens from mom and dad and church and school and television. So we are dreaming. We are dreaming what, and the dream is a system of thinking and seeing things from other people's point of view. We actually become carbon copies of our mom and our dad. Sorry to inform you. Some of you may already know that. We won't go into that. That's a whole never talk. So what happens is we start to want to please the people around us as children. We start pretending. Now, we might try to rebel as a kid because we know who we are. We are free as a little child. They're free. They don't have any filters, but they're getting filterized. They're getting told what the filters need to be. So you can't say that. But they're free to be authentic and real. And pretty soon, I can't be that. I have to cover it up. I can't be because I upset people. So I have to be what you want me to be. Okay, and so we try to please people, people pleasers. Yeah, right, we all do that. We live in a society that is actually the domestication. Another way to put it from another teacher is fear-based conditioning. We live in a world where everything is fear-based. If you do this, you'll get in trouble. You know, and fear isn't a bad thing if it's controlling you and out of control. So we're now not being who we really are. And what happens is at some point, we start to domesticate ourselves. We auto-domesticate, right? I don't need anybody else telling me what I should do or not do. I'm telling myself. And that's when we get to what is called the book of law. The book of law. That is all the beliefs that you hold to be true because that's what's been given to you. Now, things may not be true, but we have absorbed it. We've digested it. We've embodied the book of law. So now we become, here's the big J word, judge. We judge. Here comes the judge, right? Flip Wilson. So we judge everyone, everything, including the cat, the dog, and the weather. It's good weather, it's bad weather, it's weather. We have a judge that is nonstop, and it's also known as the inner critic. Anybody got that inner judge? You could be judging me right now. You could be judging yourself. We judge other people, but who we really judge? Ourselves. And when we're judging other people, we're actually judging a part of ourselves, because we're all mirrors. If I don't like something in you, Jeannie, and I'm critical of you, it's part of me that I don't like and haven't learned to love and accept and give to. So we have an inner judge. I tried to kick the inner judge off of my bus of us. It just got really stormy outside the bus. See, we actually need judgment. Judgment has a place. One of the Bible's verses is, don't judge by appearances, judge by righteous or right judgment. And we'll talk about that in November, because that's part of the wisdom part of power. Yes, the power. But get back here. So the inner judge is judging all the time. We live by the inner judge. Do you know how much we judge each other and ourselves? I don't think we even think about it, because that's just the way things are. We judge. And that gets in the way of the truth of who we are. So he talks about a dream and how the world as it is very fear-based. We have a lot of fear in our world. In fact, all the problems that we have in the world are based out of fear. Based out of fear. Some element of fear runs through every single chaotic thing that we've got going on in our world. Our world is a mess, isn't it? It's almost a living hell on some levels, between racism and homelessness and the friggin' things called war and people getting killed. We have a really messed up world. And it is because of the fear and the agreements that we have subconsciously accepted. But here's the thing, we can change our world. We can go from that living hell. And hell is also a state of mind. It's a fear-based mind. We get to change my outer world by how I change my agreements and what I'm doing in my consciousness. That is the key. He talks about the way to come into a new dream. We can create a new dream. I can. You can create a new dream. He says it takes courage, though, in order to break the agreements that we've made. Don Miguel Ruiz speaks of four agreements that are so powerful that if one engages in these new agreements, engages, embodies, works them, and works with them, we start to create a new dream, something that will work, because this isn't working. Our world is not working. And what is my part to play? In the final part here, he has, on the first chapter, the prelude to a new dream. If you want to live a life of joy and fulfillment, you have to find the courage to break those agreements that are fear-based and claim your personal power. The agreements that come from fear require us to expend a lot of energy. But the agreements that come from love help us to conserve energy and gain more energy. We're all born with a certain amount of energy, but we're often trying to work out of this fear base, which sucks up all our energy, and we don't have anything else left. He said, if we can see it is our agreements which rule our life, and we don't like the dream of our life, we need to change the agreements. When we are finally ready to change our agreements, there are four very powerful agreements that will help us to break those agreements that come from fear and deplete our energy. If you adopt these four new agreements, they will create enough personal power for you to change the entire system of your old agreements. You need a very strong will to adopt the four agreements, but you can start to live them now. And I like being in a group, because when you're doing this as a collective, there's a more synergy and power. We do have the books available. There are some spots available. Please check it out. If you aren't able to join a group, get the book itself and start to study from it. He says, you will see the drama of hell disappear before your very eyes. Instead of living in a dream of hell, you will be creating a new dream, your personal dream of heaven. This week, I would like you to start paying attention to your judgments. Notice when you judge. And you don't judge yourself for having a judgment. Or you can. You could go, oh, I'm judging myself because I had a judgment. The way to, when you notice a judgment, it's not to beat yourself up. It's to say, and here's the line you can use, I forgive myself. Say that. I forgive myself for judging. Now you can either say myself or another as whatever it is. And then you put the second part in as, because the truth is, here's an example, the final example. Maybe it's a politician you don't like, can't stand, don't agree with. Okay, I forgive myself for judging this politician as blank. Because the truth is, this is a lost soul, or perhaps they're playing a part that they agreed to before this lifetime, like Judas. Okay? That is your example. I forgive myself for judging myself as critical, because the truth is, I'm a soul that is learning how to break agreements. You do this. This is how we start this process. Notice your judgments and see if you can set yourself free. Imagine that world. It's waiting for us. And so it is.